line, the great Royce White is about to take over. But let me just put an end cap on this. If you want America to become sovereign again, if you want America to come back from the dead, you got to realize we were already an empire, and we were being set up for China to take over. Trump is doing a masterful job clawing back our power, clawing back our resources, and shutting down different Chi-Com globalist command bases, chief amongst them in our hemisphere, Venezuela. You can disagree with how it was done. You can say it was rolling the dice. Certainly was. It's gone way better than I thought. But this is the first regime change that I've tacitly supported in my 31 years on air. Because this is for American interest. This is for stabilization. And people misrepresented what I've said, what I've done here. But if the dollar dies with our debt and our deindustrialization, Trump's fast as he can trying to rebuild, it will make the Great Depression look like a cakewalk. Okay? We had 9% of people rural, half of them self-sufficient. That's 40-something percent self-sufficient. We got maybe 5% self-sufficient today. We break down, folks, it'll look like World War Z for real. So just from a place of survival, I'm thanking God for Trump every day. Do we get on his ass when he doesn't do what we think is best? Damn right. But he's night and day compared to the Democrats. And this bold operation, and now they got Maduro to expose the Democrat networks, the money laundering, the election fraud, all of it. I was all loaded for bear on that. I'll cover it tomorrow on the proof of Smartmatic and all the rest of it. This is huge. You can disagree with how it's deployed. It was actually bashfully done. But if you want to disagree, that's fine. We're a free country. MTG's got our issues. So does Tucker. I love them. It's reasonable. But you cannot disagree with the fact that if we lose the dollar, we're done. And this $18 trillion now in our books that'll actually go to the people there, that just made U.S. stock go up that much stronger. Trump knows what he's doing when it comes down to this. This is a real world, folks. You think we're going to get out of the global new world order and not exert ourselves, not stand up for ourselves, not stake out who we are under the Monroe Doctrine that is the U.S. policy we got rid of after World War II and gumbo diplomacy? Thomas Jefferson, all of us support what Trump's doing. Foreign powers coming into our business. That's an act of war. It's about taking down Cuba. Venezuela controls Mexico. Shine bomb. I hear these idiots calling in. One of them, oh, shine bomb runs Trump. She's Jewish. Blah, blah. Shine bomb shitting our britches right now. Because Trump just laid his dick on the table. And guess what? He put his cards on the table and won. He bet on his roulette wheel and won over and over again. We need to see more bold action from Trump. We need to see the same energy we just saw in Venezuela here. Not helicopters with Pinochet taking Democrats for rides out to the Gulf of Mexico, Gulf of America. We need to see getting rid of the filibuster because they've already said they're going to do it. We're at the crossroads, the time of change. Now's the time for bold action. The war is here. Patrick Henry said, listen, I don't want a war, but sorry, it's already here. Why sit here, we idle, and appease our enemies? Hey, if you want to let your chains sit lightly on you, that's great. But you think America is just going to be isolationist and pull back? We are being America first, but that means using our power to support the republic. I like what I'm seeing out of Trump. I like seeing him taking action. We need this domestically. We need to remove Bondi. We need to remove the DOJ scum. Because how are you going to get Maduro to roll over and expose the deep state if you got a bunch of people in the Southern District that won't do their job? But I like what I'm seeing here. This is a good thing. My gut told me do it. I understood it. Trump said he'd do this. First time in 30-something years, I supported regime change with the proviso he could be set up. But Trump masterfully had the troops in the air 5 times, and he made the final decision. We were already in their airspace to hit them. That way they couldn't leak and shoot down our forces with the traitors. I'll introduce Royce White straight ahead. Back in 60 seconds. Share those live feeds right now. You are the Paul Revere's.
In my kitchen, I cook what's right. Simple traditions, pure delight. optimal human beef tallow treats meals just right. Cooked strong at high heat with a taste so bright. So get yourself to the Alex Jones store. Support the crew and the InfoWar.
Wake up, folks. Spread this message. The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms.
The Podesta plan is in operation.
Don't worry, it's safe and effective. Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
The globalist new world order. We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. Rallying patriots worldwide.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance. You're listening to Alex Jones.
If you think we're going to reestablish our sovereignty, we've been totally sold out to China and everybody else, without Trump jerking the globalist chain and shut down their command bases that were stealing our elections and flooding us with all the drugs and paying politicians. I don't know what planet you're on. The default move before Trump even got back in was to take out the dictatorship in Venezuela. And I said, he better do that when he gets back in. So it's not like I'm riding Trump's weenie here and supporting some neocon war. This is the opposite. But for those of you that I've never cracked a history book and don't know this stuff, I get it. I'm not mad at you. But you understand, if we hadn't been sold out to China the last 40 years, if we had our industry and our jobs, we wouldn't need to shut down China and Venezuela. But the dollar's in trouble. The world bet against us. In just a year, Trump's reversed that course. And now with $18 trillion on our sheet again, you're going to see even bigger success. $19 trillion pledged. $9 trillion already in. Trump is busting his ass. No tax on tips. Democrat states trying to block it. At every level, he's doing everything he can to cut energy prices. He is literally running around with a bullwhip to the corporations saying, you don't get profits. You give them the damn money. Because he knows if they stall the engine, if this engine stalls out, this ain't like a car that's easy to restart. Is it self-interest? It's like Elon Musk said a couple years ago. He said, this is the best house in a bad neighborhood. I need a base to go to Mars where my operations. Everything's falling apart. America is the central pillar of the West. The West holds up the world. I'm trying to hold up the world because he's a smart, rich man. These other globalists want to make everybody poor and control them so they have more power over them. You'll have nowhere to spend your money. Everybody will want to kill you. An aristocrat is not insecure of other people being successful. They want to make the little guy successful and the little woman successful, and that raising tide raises all ships. But the needle-dick globalists are the opposite of that. They don't have innate power and will. They know they're crooks. They know they're lying. So they want to dumb everybody down and poison everybody and turn us against each other so they can run around and rule over us in the dark. But I want to read you the Monroe Doctrine because I meant to do this. We'll hand the baton to Royce White. Before the Monroe Doctrine, Thomas Jefferson was the isolationist. He said, until we get the country going, and manifest destiny. And he said, we're not going to get involved in foreign entanglements unless we're attacked. Well, the Muslims were grabbing all our ships, demanding the equivalent of like $100 billion a year. Everybody else was paying their bounty. He said, we're not paying that bounty. And he sent, at first, only like 20 ships from the Marines. And the Barbary Pirates had a whole bunch of states and a whole bunch of command bases in the Middle East, you name it. And it took 3 years to win the war, but we won, and they dropped the tribute that had to be paid. So that sets the first precedent. Then you've got the Monroe Doctrine. Then you got William McKinley. and you got all the stuff that happened there. Trump is following U.S. law. And Venezuela is stealing our elections, projecting all this money, doing all this with communist China. We'd be a fool not to deal with that. That's a country actually attacking us. That's why Russia went into Ukraine, that NATO uses a proxy. When somebody's on your doorstep doing something, you got a right to stand up for yourself. We're not over nation building. Trump says, we're not getting involved in your business overseas anymore. But if you get in our business and you come and punch us in the nose, you're going to get punched back in the nose. He's destroying the rules-based order of the UN, which sounds good, rules-based, where the UN, the global society, who can stand up, who has sovereignty, who can do what. No, this is about, no, America has been disconnected, paralyzed from its own powers. This is about the American people electing a president that will actually stand up for us, and you'll get each policy he does. It is for the people. He has failings with the DOJ, all that. That's a side issue. No one can deny that Trump is trying to help the average person. And he better, because they want to sell communism with Mondami as the answer if this fails. So Monroe Doctrine is a United States foreign policy position that opposes European colonialism in the Western Hemisphere. That means China today. It holds that any intervention in the political affairs of America's by foreign powers is a potentially hostile act against the United States. The doctrine was created to American grand strategy in the 20th century. President James Monroe first articulated the doctrine on December 2nd, 1823, during his 7th annual State of the Union Address to Congress, though it was not named after him until 1830. At the time, nearly all Spanish colonies in the Americas had either achieved or were close to independence. Monroe asserted that the New World and the Old World were to remain distinctly separate spheres of influence. And thus, further efforts by European powers to control or introduce sovereign states in the region would be viewed as a threat to the U.S. security. In turn, the United States would recognize and not interfere with existing European colonies, not meddle in the affairs of European countries. Now, let me explain this, and I'll hand the baton. Nobody even knows this. You know why Mexicans got great beer? Because Germany colonized it. They had all these princes out of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, and they had Maximilian and all the rest of them, and they had big rebellions. The Mexicans would kill them, and they'd send more German princes, and they'd kill them. But the point was is that the Germans were constantly attacking the United States, constantly funding Mexican bandits and stuff to just try to push people around. And in World War One, did you know they launched a Mexican army into Texas and killed a bunch of people? They had to send Black Jack Pershing down there and all that. You only hear in the media, oh, Black Jack Pershing invaded Mexico. They don't tell you why, because all over Texas they launched tens of thousands of people attacking and murdering everybody. But the point is that not against the Mexicans, the Austro-Hungarian Empire was manipulating and all these other powers were. And under the Monroe Doctrine, we're like, hey, listen, you're not doing that. You're not using China over Venezuela to do all this with Smartmatic. So that's all this is, folks. And people need to learn about it. They need to understand it. And that's where we are. So what Trump is doing is 100%. He believes the interest of America. And it's a very bold move. It kills the UN control system. It's over the top amazing. RoyceWhite.substack.com. Royce White on X. Royce White takes over right now. Royce White, God bless you.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
It's all you, brother. You're hosting. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm on. Thank you. Appreciate it, Alex. Royce White here. I'm your guest host for the next hour and a half. It's an honor to be back. InfoWars Sunday Night Live, The Alex Jones Show. I'm here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and we're going to keep talking about Venezuela. I'm 1,000% on board with what Alex Jones was just explaining, and I'm a little more cynical. I'm going to be a little more cynical tonight about the response. And I've been saying for a long time, I think this nation is in need of a coach. Like, you know, we love sports in this country. We're almost obsessed with sports in this country. We love a good Vince Lombardi. We love a good John Wooden. We love a Bill Belichick. We love a Phil Jackson. We love a great coach because a great coach can tell us something we need to hear in a way that we can embrace. That's kind of the art of coaching. Tell us what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. And my one complaint since getting involved in politics back in 2022, I ran, tried to run against Ilhan Omar in Congressional District 5, lost, came back, ran against Amy Klobuchar in 2024, was able to win a statewide endorsement by of the Republican Party and then go on to win a statewide primary as the Republican nominee. And then I was defeated, quote unquote, by Amy Klobuchar in 2024. Now going to run again in 2026 for Tina Smith's open seat, vacated seat. She's resigning from the seat. And we have opponent, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanigan. But since I've gotten in politics, the one thing that I'm very concerned about is how esoteric politics has become. You know, how opinion-based politics has become, how TikTok and studio politics has become. And I don't mean the commentators who tell you the truth, like the Alex Joneses or the Steve Bannons of the world. I mean that everybody's kind of in this reality TV show that they play out in the comments on social media or the content they put out on social media or their opinions and their everyday life with their community members is at the barbershop or at the local bar or in your local Republican Party or Democrat Party, even wherever it is. It's become real WWE. And so we've become very theatrical in how we deal with politics. And even in the America First movement, I got to tell you, I got to say it. I'm watching the response and everything is Israel. And nobody's afraid to talk about Israel. I've been called anti-Semitic more than any other candidate that's running across the country. AIPAC hasn't given me a single dollar, and they won't give me a single dollar. You can bet your life on it, unless they see me say this and go, oh, we're going to try and send them some money. If you do, we'll be sending it back to you. But nobody's afraid to talk about Israel. Nobody is afraid to talk about neocon influence in the Republican Party or the neocon dominance over the American Uniparty, the neoliberal, neoconservative Uniparty in D.C. Nobody's afraid to talk about it. Nobody's trying to sidestep it or dance around it or shill for it. But we have to deal with things the way that they are, not the way we wish them to be. The way that things are, the way that things actually are in this country, is we, the American people, have for too long traded our freedom for security. Not just international rules-based military industrial complex security, but the security of our own feelings and sensitivity about our own inaction in the political process. That's the security we traded for freedom. The security, the false sense of security, let's be more clear. The false sense of security psychologically that we actually participate in this country's politics in a meaningful way. That's the quid pro quo we made. And because we did that, we've put ourselves in a position that's not going to be easy to come back from. I tell people all the time on my show, it's not easy to get off heroin. There's no pretty way to get off of heroin. There's no easy way to get off of heroin. It's going to be ugly. It's going to feel like you're dying. You're going to be damn sure that you're dying, as a matter of fact. You probably won't. You might. There are some people who don't make it. But it's going to feel like you're dying nonetheless. And it's going to be difficult every day of your life to stay sober, to stay clean. Ask any drug addict, lifelong drug addict you know who's now sober. It is a battle every single day. In America, we don't view the return, the safe return of this republic as an everyday, all-day fight for the rest of our lives. I think we believe there's going to be a magic pill. And right now, the America First movement is leaning towards blame everything on Israel. We need to go by the Constitution. I'm going to talk about both things today. And if there is any Israeli influence that has pushed us into Venezuela for their own motives, then we should categorically denounce it while still accepting that there could be great benefit in it for us. And I 1,000% think that this move in Venezuela is the correct move. And I was saying it 2 years ago. People looked at me like I had three eyes. You can go back to some of my appearances on Jason Whitlock. And I said, we need to annex Mexico. We need to annex Canada. And then all of a sudden, people from the Trump administration started talking about hemispheric strategy once he won. And it's 1,000% the correct thinking. We deal with that which is most local to us. When we talk about foreign policy, what is most local to us regionally is everything in the Western Hemisphere. You bring up a map. This isn't complex. The Western Hemisphere belongs to us. The Northeastern Hemisphere belongs to Vladimir Putin. The Southeastern Hemisphere belongs to President Xi. The Europeans have to put up whatever fight they can put up to make sure that the sphere of influence in the Northeastern corridor of the Eastern Hemisphere belongs to them and not President Putin. But that war has been going on for a long time, and it will continue to wage on until there's a victor. And chances are there won't be a victor anytime soon. That war is going to wage on. But Europe's going to have to stand up for itself. Hemispheric defense. The difference between Venezuela and Iraq, first of all, is geographic location. I said this yesterday on X. If you concede that all military action everywhere around the world is on an equal footing, you've already given over. You've already given over to a globalist geopolitical framework. All military action all over the world isn't on an equal footing. That's a false equivalency from the outset. Of course it's not equal. Of course it's much different for us to go to war a world away. And Iraq and Afghanistan are a world away. It's much different for us to go to Afghanistan and Iraq than for us to skip on down to Venezuela just on geographic location alone. And if you deny the significance of geographic location, I have to believe that your politics are much more esoteric than they are practical. It's not practical if you disregard geographic location. And I get to say it's much like, you know, some of the separation between Catholicism and Protestantism, where Protestantism, because it doesn't have what they would call a living church, a church institution, they have individual places of worship, but they don't have a church as corrupt as the Catholic Church has been and still has problems with. Giving a faith community a physical place of worship anchors it in reality. It anchors it in the physical world, and that's also the role that the sacraments play. And it's partly the role that confession plays. Whether you agree with confessing your sins to a priest or not, I think we can all agree that it's much more difficult to confess your sins to another person than it is to confess your sins straight to Jesus. And there's an exercise in that. Not saying one is right or the other. You can obviously ask God for forgiveness directly. My point is, them having the Catholics, us, because I'm Catholic as well, us having a physical church grounds us in reality. Not to be consumed with the physical world, not to forget that the eternal is what's most important, but you do have to live a life in this world until the day that God calls you home that is Christian. The institution is supposed to help you do that. And that's part of the reason why you have this evangelical Zionism, because the Protestant community without a church now regards Israel as their church. And I dare any Protestant or evangelical out there to debate or disagree with that. In the absence of a physical church, Israel has become the de facto church of the Protestant and evangelical community, because your individual place of worship doesn't have enough historical gravity to it to anchor you to it in a sort of symbolic and Christian identity, it doesn't have enough weight to it. Not to say that your place of worship isn't fine and your pastor isn't great and he doesn't tell you the word in a way that helps you in your life. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that human beings have historicity. We have history to us. It's one of the things that makes us human. It's history. Our ability to record history, our ability to look back at history, our ability to use history to move forward. I say that all as an example of our politics have become very similar, very esoteric, very abstract. We're not grounded in reality, especially when it comes to foreign policy. And it's not by accident. They traded the significance of geography in the schools on purpose. They traded it for, at first it was African-American studies, and now lately it's become gender non-binary theory. It's all done on purpose. Everything about world history is colonialism, but they keep out the best part, the kicker, the punchline. The punchline is America's working class has been slaved to an interest that is not our own. We call that the globalist agenda. We identify that as the globalist agenda. Where we're having a problem today, even in the America First movement, even in the MAGA movement, on the right, in the conservative movement, where we're having a problem today is we seem to think, with all of our abnegation of citizenship and our trading our freedoms over to this globalist empire, that we're going to walk back off of that and magically become what we see in our mind. It don't work like that. It just doesn't work like that. That's not how real life works. That's how video games works. That's how simulations work. That's how, a play or a theater or scripted WWE works. You can just, manufacture an outcome and jump straight to it. That's not how real life works. How real life works is you're going to have to walk your way back, just like getting off of heroin. You're going to have to walk your way back and you're going to have to work hard every day to keep the change that you've started. That's what President Trump is doing. At least that's what he's trying to do. And we have to be vigilant. We have to continue to keep the pressure on him and the administration to speak what the people really want out of our foreign policy. But we better make sure that we understand the game ourselves. And it's hard for us to understand the game because although Alex Jones has an incredibly big audience and he's at the tip of the spear, and that's why they've tried to keep him suppressed, he is not the mainstream. He is not the widespread information of the American populace. So your average American citizen still out there thinking, oh, Russia shot first. Oh, China's just a developing nation for the first time in 100 years. They're no threat. The Muslim world isn't a threat. Israel, we're woke and leftists and, we side with Palestine. But if you back us into a corner, we'll call you anti-Semitic too in a heartbeat. The left called me anti-Semitic time and time again in the run up to 2024. They hate Israel. They love Palestine. But I'm anti-Semitic for saying Ben Bernanke is a Jewish elite. You better understand. America just doesn't have one enemy. We have many enemies. And the best way to fortify ourselves against our enemies geopolitically, foreign policy, from a military standpoint, is hemispheric defense. Yes, we want to pull back from these foreign entanglements. We don't want to be involved in forever wars, but we're also not going to let our enemies creep right up to our borders. We're not going to let the CCP creep right up into our backyard, or Russia or North Korea or whoever else is interested. We're not going to let our enemies start to position themselves right on our border because we have objection to where the globalist agenda pushed us. We have to be smart enough to do both things at the same time. Royce White here, the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm your guest host. You got me for another hour and a half. Alex Jones Show, InfoWars Sunday Night Live. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in a moment. We're going to talk more about Venezuela and hemispheric strategy, just how important it is. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I'm going to say this right now. We have survived and battled the federal and state courts, the Democratic Party, the whole nine yards. And we have great products, and I appreciate all your support. But 70%+ of the money that comes in is the legal cost. If we didn't have those battles going, we'd be 24 hours a day, as I've always planned, and totally kicking ass. But it's part of the cost of the fight in this information war, and I appreciate you keeping us here. But with everything going on, we've got about a $300,000 underage right now and need to have the money for payroll and bandwidth and all the things we're doing. This is, and it's not a Chicken Little thing or a the sky's falling, or boy, you cried wolf. You've seen the attacks. You've seen the news. You've seen us battling. God, pulls us out right at the last minute. And I know we're going to get massive support of the successful shutting this down. People are going to be, whoa. But regardless, the products are insane. But at InfoWarsStore.com, with the bankruptcy and the receiver, they don't let us get a lot of new products, all that. We have the collectible limited edition, same InfoWars posters. We have a chance at an auction next month with the state. If they don't let it be a real auction, the good guys can't buy InfoWars, we'll be shut down. And I just want to fight to the end, and whatever happens, happens. But we have the collectible posters for $25, unsigned, $100 signed. That's a lot of money, I know. It's, the point is, it's a fundraiser. You're opting in to do that. It's beautiful posters, three of them. But if you want to just give a straight donation on the front page of InfoWarsStore.com, you can just give a straight donation. The credit card fees are like 4% for us, and then we get 96% of the money to actually run the operation. So we're winning in court. We're having a lot of big effects. I'm not going to spend hours explaining it all to you, but we're down to the last round here right now, and we need the funds. And you know the show delivers the truth. It has a major effect. We influence the White House. We're getting a lot of good stuff happening. It's a valuable thing in the info war to keep on air. So go to InfoWarsStore.com, and I'm asking you humbly for a straight donation, $5, $50, $100. Give a straight donation if you want, or if you want one of the posters, signed or unsigned, as a memento that you stood up for the Republic at a key time. We got a little bit of the fish oil back in, a little bit of the bodies back in. That's selling out quickly. The receiver let us do that. But none of this goes to the plaintiffs. None of this goes to the bad guys. It's literally in the red right now, okay, with what we got projected in the next month. I need the funds now. Please make a donation. This is the critical time. TheAlexJonesShore.com is not owned by me. If InfoWars gets shut down, that's our sponsor for the new network that's already been built, but it's also funding InfoWars, and there's not enough coming in. So you can support either way. TheAlexJonesShore.com, the ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish CMOS, the bovine colostrum, all the t-shirts, that's great. But if you want to straight up support, know it all goes to it, make a donation or get one of the posters at InfoWarsStore.com. It's up to you. Please take action now.
Wake up in a world trying to drain your light. Screens got you numb, keep you foggy at night. They want you tired, unfocused, slow. But I crack the code, now the voltage flows. Clean energy, no crash, no fade. Mind sharp like a blade when the system plays games. From the gym to the grind to the war for your mind. This ain't luck, nah, this is designed. Ultimate power.
Something even better than Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, InfoWars. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we're talking about Venezuela as the top news, maybe of the entire administration. Venezuela has a regime change overnight. President Trump green lights an operation to capture Maduro and his wife, who are set to stand trial for crimes here in America, and there is a lot of controversy about this decision. I'm seeing it online. And I, you know, my entire campaign in 2024 for U.S. Senate was border debt forever wars. We got to close our border. We got to stop incurring so much debt, and we got to stop getting involved in these forever wars. But, and there is a huge but, for the people who don't think there's a but, you're not living room reality. Again, we have to deal with things as they are, not as we wish them to be. But this country, our country, America, is already in the kinetic part of the Third World War. It's already begun. We're further along in the kinetic part of third. We're further along in the kinetic part of the Third World War than we were in the precursor to World War II. You have to understand that. And if you accept that, then you gotta understand, and I use a sports analogy, if you can follow me. Somebody says to me the other day, well, the U.S. Constitution says that the Congress has to, okay a war and vote for a war. And if you're going to break the rules because the Democrats already do, then you're no better than them. There's some truth in that. There is some truth in that. Don't get me wrong. I understand the argument, the constitutional argument. But let me use a sports analogy. When we're in a baseball game, whether it's the beginning of the season or the bottom of the ninth in the World Series, and that pitcher hits that batter with that ball, with that bean pitch. He goes high up and inside, and he hits that batter. And that batter goes to charge the mound. And that other team empties their dugout. You better believe that our team's last man better not be the last one out of that dugout between the two teams. You empty your dugout, we're emptying our dugout. That's the American way. It's fundamental to the American way. That batter rushes that mound, and they empty their dugout, we empty our dugout. Does it mean that the rules of baseball change? No, but the rules are suspended until both teams decide that the fight is no longer worth it, cooler heads will prevail, and we'll return to our dugouts, and we'll let the game resume with the same rules as they were before the fight broke out. That's human nature. That is the human nature across human history. The rules get suspended when war breaks out. The problem I have with us here in America is too many people have been playing by the rules while our enemies have abandoned them. But we still pretend like the rules are going to yield the results that we desire. And I'm not so sure we really believe that. I kind of get the sense that we're more invested in the complaining of politics, the nihilistic theater of doom and gloom in our politics than we are the political action. And it's not just conjecture or a theory. There's proof. The proof is, and let me use a guy like Rand Paul or Thomas Massey, for example, even President Trump himself. The proof that we're more interested in the theater of complaining about politics than we are the political action is the BPOUs of the Republican Party are still one third full. The Republican Party is still one third full. All the America Firsters, all the Libertarians, all the Tea Partiers, all the Ron Paul people, all of the MAGA Patriots, all of the Constitutionalists could tomorrow go into the Republican Party and change the entire face of the Republican Party, but we don't. And just from a place of honesty with oneself, you have to ask, why? Why is it that we have so many passionate opinions about the political corruption, let's say the neocon element of the Republican Party or the American Uniparty? Why is it we have so many complaints about how politics works in this country, in this two-party corrupt system, yet we're unwilling to take ourselves and our community of like-minded individuals, whatever that political variety may be, and go into the party that's open for you? I don't think people understand when I say it's open for you. It's open. It's one-third full. You can become a precinct committeeman. They're one-third full in this country. One-third. A couple hundred thousand positions in the Republican Party. And then you don't get a Mitch McConnell. And I have to ask myself, I like Ron Paul. I had the executive director of the Ron Paul Institute call me a neocon for saying hemispheric strategy is America first. Anytime, any place, you set the debate. You bring Ron Paul with you or whoever else for that matter. Because I got some questions. Like for Rand, how it is that you and Senator Mitch McConnell have come from the same state for the last, I don't know how many years in the first place. Let's just ask that question. I'd like to know, how is it that two people who couldn't be more diametrically opposed in their political philosophy continue to maintain their senator seats for so many years? Same question I may have for Thomas Massie. What's going on there in Kentucky? How did Mitch McConnell survive so long through the charnel house of a libertarian America First Kentucky? Could it be that there's some insider baseball going on there in Kentucky? Oh, hey, I know people may not like it. Look, I like Rand Paul. I like Ron Paul. I've been the one on the record saying the greatest dark mark of the Republican Party's short 21st century history, 20th century history, is that we put up Mitt Romney against this country's most progressive candidate in history instead of Ron Paul. That is the single greatest dark mark on the short history of the Republican Party, that we put up milquetoast, moderate Mitt Romney against Barack Obama instead of Ron Paul. I don't care how prestigious his name is. I don't care how great his smile is. I don't care about his legalese or how good his hair is. We should have put up Ron Paul on principle. And we didn't because we like the superficial aspect of politics. We like the WWE. So I like Ron Paul. And by default, I kind of like Rand Paul. And I agree with a lot of the things Thomas Massie is saying, especially about the influence of foreign countries or lobbies and special interests in general in Washington, D.C. Absolutely. We agree. The question is, what's the solution? And if a sitting Congress member like Thomas Massie is going to tell me, a United States Senate candidate in the 2026 midterms, that the President of the United States should wait for the very Congress that he claims is captured by special interests and lobbies, I have questions. I have serious questions and I have concerns. Please, Congressman Massie, I would love to hear why you think we should wait for a Congress that you say is 95% plus captured by the same special interests and lobbies that you are fighting against. Why would we wait for that Congress to allow our military to take action to protect this nation? See, I think we even in this movement, even in the America First movement, we understand the concept. We get the ideas. We get that AIPAC has way too much influence and way too much protection in the cultural narrative. We understand that. We've gotten to first base. Now to get to second base is, what are we going to do about it? What are we actually going to do? See, I say go into the Republican Party and make sure that the candidates all across the country really believe in America First values. That we get 10 to 15, maybe even 20 America First senators to hold the sway on the majority. You're not going to get to 60. You're damn sure not going to get to 90 or 100 in one cycle. But we could get 10 or 15. If the people really decided that they were fed up with the corruption in this country and said, you know what? It's America First or bust. We could get 10 to 15 United States senators elected. 10 to 15 America First United States senators elected in 2026 or 28. Then we could have a sway on the majority. But that would mean that Thomas Massie and Rand Paul would have to, and I know Mitch McConnell's retiring and the whole thing, but you understand my point, would have to actively campaign against the rest of the Rhino senators that are in the Republican Party, the neocons in the Republican Party. And all we have to do is look back through history and ask ourselves, do we see that? And if there's one criticism of President Trump, it ain't going down to Venezuela and snatching Maduro. It's endorsing Lindsey Graham. If there's a legitimate criticism of President Trump, it ain't going down to Venezuela and dropping the hammer. It's endorsing Lindsey Graham. It's endorsing Steve Daines. It's playing footsie with John Thune. And we agree on those things. We agree on those things. But I don't think we agree that there's no easy way out of the mess that we're currently in. No easy way out of here. No easy way to clean up a huge mess. and nobody gets out alive. Nobody gets out alive in life. We're not getting out of here alive, guys. The question isn't if we're going to die. The question is when and how. For what purpose? And I get the sense, again, I get the sense that we would sit idly by and use the rules that were set against us to watch our own demise. It's not conjecture. It's not an opinion. That's not a theory. We were on that road before President Trump came down the escalator and said, you know what? Fake news. We were listening to the news. We were listening to the headlines. Hell, some of us still listen to the headlines. You can't fool me. You can say all you want to. Oh, I don't trust the mainstream media. You got your iPhone and you still get Apple, Apple News headlines is the first, touch point with what's going on in the world. Maybe not in this audience. Obviously, in this audience, you're watching the, real journalism, but we accepted it culturally. And when I say we accepted it, I'm not saying that we believed a lie. We were unwilling to do the things that we could do to change what we can change. We were unwilling to do that. In the face of being lied to, we were unwilling to say, you know what? We're not leaving it to these milquetoast, soft belly Republican activists to pick our candidates. I want to be at that BPOU convention. I want to be at that congressional district convention. I want to be at that Senate district convention. I want to be at that Republican Party state convention. I want to be at caucuses here in Minnesota in February, February 3rd, caucuses. I want to be in caucus. I want to be in the room. There should be so many people going to caucus this year across the country in their respective state. They should have to expand the Republican Party, or they should have to keep people out. They should have to shut the door, lock the door, and say the fire marshals can't let any more people in. We got to go to a bigger venue. That should be what happens, and I doubt that it will. And that says something about us. But it also says something when we complain, when people have to take action that we don't like, action that we don't think is right. We can explain it to you over and over again. And the bottom line is it doesn't matter if you like it or not. It happened. We rolled down there to Venezuela. We grabbed Maduro up. He's on his way back to America. And now we get to see and we get to demand what happens next. But you better be sure. You better be sure. So much of politics is on the surface. It's headlines. It's tweets and comments and knee-jerk responses and opinions, reactions. You better be sure. If you want to put your opinion out there, you're adding to the momentum, the zeitgeist of the times, the spirit of the American political conversation. You better be sure that what you're saying is founded in reality, because there'll be consequences. We can talk philosophy and conspiracy theory, and a lot of them are just conspiracy truth. I've been called a conspiracy theorist. In fact, you go to my Wikipedia page, at one point the opening line was, Royce White, American conspiracy theorist. So nobody loves a good conspiracy theory as much as me. I love them because a lot of them end up being true. A lot of them are true, and we don't have the evidence we need to prove that they're true. But we can do all of those things. When you're in a gunfight, when you're in a duel and you go to walk those 10 paces and you turn to draw your weapon and you don't have any ammunition, you die. When you play by the rules and your enemies abandon them in a cultural revolution with lawfare and witch hunt, show trials, you end up in a mass grave. That's the truth. You don't have to like it. I don't like it. Nobody should like it. The communists love it. They know it, that that's exactly how the game is played, and they're willing to play it like that. They don't care anything about the Constitution. For all my constitutionalists, they don't care anything about the United States Constitution. In fact, they regard the entire thing as white supremacy, which is why they're willing to circumvent it every time they have the levers of power. Hell, even the way that the judiciary is currently sitting and the way that it behaves, the way that it decides, is a circumvention of the United States Constitution, and we all know it. But why is that not an act of war itself? Because we're soft, and we all know that as well. We can talk this 1776 Patriot shit if we want to. But I wonder, at night when I lay my head down, I wonder how many people are really, really ready for some fallen state, post-apocalyptic American society. I wonder. Because I look out and I go, hell, over 60, 70% of you are obese. You're not even in shape to survive something like that. You're not even built to survive something like that. The people who are going to survive stuff like that are the people who the military-industrial complex spent and invested trillions of dollars into to stay alive and be able to kill. Those are the people who are built to survive. And a few unicorns, a few outliers who have a tick for firearms or physical combat or CQB or, you know, they have a niche that, you know, maybe they're competition shooters or, you know, they understand how to circumnavigate, you know, and things like that. Certain people who have certain niche skills from their hobbies or their life or their profession are ready for that type of society. Most of you aren't. Let's just be honest. So you better be thanking President Trump right now, because the way President Trump is doing it is helping you not to have to suffer the hellfire and brimstone of a civil war that you all play with. Let's be honest. Let's talk for real tonight. The civil war that people play with as a sort of allegory in our political conversation, President Trump is helping you not have to deal with the hellfire and brimstone that actually comes along with that outcome, with that result, with that situation, with that scenario. That's what he's doing. I can't say it to you any more plain than that. Yeah, hemispheric defense. You betcha. You betcha. Are there drugs involved? Sure. Sure. May there be some election integrity or election, some election fraud that Maduro can shed light on? Sure. But it's about energy. And I tell President Trump here tonight, just come out and say it's about the energy. We don't mind. We don't mind at all. My favorite clip of this entire thing is when they asked him, they said, what are we going to do with the oil that we're in control of? He said, we're going to keep it. Finally, Americans are going to benefit first. Finally. Now, we would have a problem if the first order of business was to ship the profits of that oil to the Ukraine or even to Israel. That would make it not America first. And we must demand that that does not happen. That all of the proceeds, all the profits from the Venezuelan oil that we just took comes here to the American people to pay down the $38 trillion in debt, Mr. Massey. $17 trillion off of $38 trillion is a pretty big chunk. You make the Federal Reserve, you make the central bank eat the other $10 trillion that they have as completely, collateralized debt on their balance sheet on their way out of our country. Now you're looking at $28 trillion. Now we're only $10 trillion in debt with tariffs sending us more money than Midas. Oh, my goodness. America is solvent once again. Wouldn't that be nice to see America solvent again? $18 trillion in oil down there. $18 trillion. And you could all say, oh, well, we shouldn't be stealing their oil, or we shouldn't just be pirating. Oh, nobody has a problem with piracy any other day. You don't have a problem with piracy when you go buy a new iPhone and the cobalt came from the Congo mines, where some little Congolese kid is down there in the mine picking the cobalt with his bare hands. Or better yet, 15,000 8-year-olds down there in the cobalt mine of the Congo pulling cobalt with their bare hands. Nobody had a problem. Nobody has a problem with that. As long as you can stay connected, you know, as long as you can stay in the conversation on X or Facebook or wherever else you are. And I don't mind you being involved. Speak your piece. Freedom of speech. No doubt. I want more people involved in the conversation. But where is your sacred honor? And where is your willingness to play the game as it really is, not as you wish it to be? See, in basketball, we understand this. When the other game starts to throw elbows, you don't say, ref, ref, they're throwing elbows. When the other team starts to get a little physical and bump and pull and tug, and you don't say, coach, he's elbowing me. That's not right. It's not part of the rules. No, you take your elbow and you come clean across his face and you send a message. And if the game stops and a brawl breaks out, our last guy better not be the last guy off those two benches. That's that moxie and grit and toughness that this country needs. We're not going to be the last one to recognize we are in an asymmetrical war for the future of our nation, and even more importantly, the future of all humanity. We're not going to be the last ones to recognize that the fight is broken out. We're not going to be late to the fight. That's what President Trump is doing. He's throwing the first punch. We're not going to be consumed with Ukraine and Israel and even the South China Sea for that matter. But we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Because that poses an interesting question, I want to put that out there tonight. But we're not going to worry about those things first. We're going to worry about our own backyard first. Monroe Doctrine. Some people don't even know what Monroe Doctrine is, because your schools have been captured by globalists for 60 years. Really, it's not by accident you don't know what the Monroe Doctrine is. It's not by accident they use the Monroe Doctrine when it comes to their foreign policy for their territorial integrity, but we shouldn't use it here in America. We should pay them to talk about Monroe Doctrine in their part of the world, but we shouldn't apply it to ours. Things are changing. We're going to reorient the entire polarity of the world. And it started right there in Venezuela. You're watching the Alex Jones Show here Sunday Night Live on InfoWars. I'm your guest host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We're talking Venezuelan globalism for the rest of the time. We'll be right back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Merry Christmas!
show, Sunday Night Live here on InfoWars. I'm your guest host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we're obviously talking about Venezuela, a huge inflection point in this nation's history. And I got to say it, you know, we're optimistic that we can save the republic, but I kind of think we're too soft. I just think we're too soft. Through and through, you know, pound for pound, per capita, we're just too soft. We are soft. We across the board, we're soft. The Republican Party is a great example of it. We talk about conservatism and grit and toughness and rugged individualism and the Constitution and our rights, but we let the Democrats violate our rights every single day. We let them circumvent the Constitution every single day. We almost let them wage lawfare on President Trump, and we sat by on our hands. If it wasn't for the attorneys that gave their time and fought against the machine, President Trump would be sitting in a prison cell right now today for the rest of his life, and Kamala Harris would be president. That's the reality of this country. That's where we actually are. Not where we want to be, where we actually are. And now we come to it. President Trump's in office, and we're not even wise enough to understand the difference between going to Iraq and going to Venezuela. Geographic location is the difference. The house next door is not the same as the house around the corner, not the same as the house seven blocks down, not the same as the house across town, not the same as the house two states over. See, but if we had good Christian communities, we would be able to understand location in a more Christian way. The order of charity is that which is most local to us, the order of priority. When we say charity, the order of priority is that which is most local to us. The natural order is God to man, to woman, to child. The great Saint Thomas Aquinas says, man can have peace when he surrenders his passions to his reason and his reason to God. Then he can have peace within himself. Then he can start to have peace with everyone else or anyone else if it can be possible, if it can be achieved. The great Saint Thomas Aquinas, Catholic theologian, hitter. It's a comment about the order and sphere of priority. So to go from a radical globalist agenda to an America First agenda, you have to shrink the sphere of priority. The problem with it is we weren't just a radical globalist fanatic. We weren't just a fan. We were intimately involved, like the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire's problem wasn't that their empire was too big. It was where they chose to place their priorities. They were off in Egypt, trying to defend outposts in Egypt. When the hordes of the Visigoths and all these other people were at their door, there weren't enough Roman legions to stop the hordes at their gate, at their door. They were spread too thin. America's problem isn't that we have a great military, a well-funded military, a very technologically sophisticated military. That's not America's problem. America's problem is that we are strategically, quote unquote, strategically positioned all around the world to preserve the post-World War II Democrat international rules-based order for the globalist agenda. We are the rent-a-cops for a foreign policy that does not benefit us. That's the problem with the American military's use. That's the problem. The problem is we are a reverse vassal empire. That's the problem. We're changing that. We're about to change it. We better demand that we change it, but we better be real about what that means. All these people, oh, you don't need the oil. You must ride a horse. You must ride a horse and buggy, buddy. Oh, we're going to need some oil. We'll be right back on the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the Royce White Show. It's not the Royce White Show. We're here on the Alex Jones Show, Sunday Night Live, InfoWars. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I could talk about Somali fraud, but I did last Sunday. Somali fraud as bad as ever. And we have to deal with the things at home. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong at all. The pedophiles on the Epstein list, the people who have undermined our elections, Dr. Fauci, Bill Gates, the Somalis who committed the fraud here in Minnesota, the Democrats who the fraud was committed under their watch. Oh, there should be investigations and there should be charges brought up on the people right here at home. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong, but we have to do both things at the same time. We have to deal with our problems at home, and we have to start to shrink the sphere of priority. Like I was saying before the break, the problem is the sphere of priority wasn't just in one direction. It's not just that we were sending money off to a military outpost a world away. It's not that we were sending our troops to a military outpost a world away. It's that we created a reverse vassal state, a reverse vassal empire. In a vassal empire, the small country pays tribute to the big country for protection. We're going to pay tribute, and if we ever have problems with one of our neighbors, or let's say a bigger kingdom that wants to invade, we can call upon you for military support. That's a vassal state. That's a vassal empire. We have a reverse vassal empire. We pay everybody else to protect them. And the only reason we do that is so that your political and corporate elite can steal more money from you. It's a way to justify stealing more tax money from you. Even furthermore, the problem with that is the tax money is then spent, printed into debt, only to leave you with an inflated and depreciated dollar where you don't get any of the benefits. See, there's such a thing as good debt. There is such a thing as good debt. Good debt is when it's invested into any business that's going to give you a reasonable return at a reasonable rate in a reasonable amount of time. You can have good debt. The entire real estate industry is built on what they call good debt. The problem with our $38 trillion in debt is that it's going to build up everybody else, namely our enemies, namely the Chinese Communist Party. And for some strange reason, we've become so obsessed with Israel, and nobody's a bigger critic of Bibi Netanyahu and the anti-Jews than me. But we've become so obsessed with Israel, somehow we've convinced ourselves that the CCP and China isn't our enemy. I mean, are we that childish? We're like children. We're like 10-year-old children. It's like, I can only focus on one enemy at a time. Oh, I don't like you today on the playground, and we're going to try and ostracize and isolate you on the playground because, you know, we're 10 years old, and we can't even keep up a sophisticated track on who we don't like or who doesn't like us. Grow up. Grow up. Yeah, there's way too much influence in our country from Israel. 1,000%. Anybody who denies it or says otherwise is a liar. Way too much influence. Way too much military and foreign policy dedicated to an outpost that we don't need to defend. But the way that you get off of Saudi oil, the way that you're not, let's say, hitting your pocketbook, the way you're not punched in the gut by what happens in the Straits of Hormuz is when you roll on down to Venezuela and you say, you know what? America has paid for the security guarantees of the entire Western Hemisphere for too long. The same way we told the Europeans it's time to start kicking in to NATO is the same way we're going to tell Venezuela and Colombia and Mexico and Canada and Greenland, it's time you start kicking into the American bloc. Oh, the BRICS. Oh, the BRICS nations. You guys want to run it? You guys want to run it up? You guys want to get together and pool your natural resources to try and fight against the dollar? Okay. Okay, I like it. I like it. My pitch is we should pull off the entire Eastern Hemisphere. There, boom, there's your radical headline. Pull every man and woman off of the Eastern Hemisphere. Every last one of them. Down to the last soldier. Every piece of military could pull it all off of the Eastern Hemisphere. The American bloc. You come on travel on across that Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific and we can throw down. Anytime, any place. And that goes from Canada all the way down to the very tip of South America. And how about we talk about Antarctica? Oh, wait, we can't even talk about Antarctica yet, right? Right? Because there's a global agreement that nobody's going to, you know, do any military exercises on the continent of Antarctica. Nobody wants to even go there. Say, well, it's Israel. Oh, Chinese aren't our enemies. Oh, Antarctica. What about that? Maybe we should go on down there and start setting up military bases on, you know, on the continent of Antarctica too. Maybe we should just pull out of that treaty. I don't even know if there's a strategic purpose, if that would be strategically, you know, advantageous for us. I'm just saying. You get my point. You get my point. There's the world of politics as it's being discussed in the conversation, in comment sections of social media. And then there's how the world is really going to be redrawn now. And you don't have to like it. You can complain all you want to. Take your complaints to the front door of somewhere where they actually matter. Get involved in the political process. I want to hear from you. I want to see you stand up at the convention. I want to see you at the congressional district conventions this campaign season. I want to see you at all the Republican Party conventions, because we know you're not going into the Democrat Party. Although there seems to be some agreement now on the fringes of the two political parties that really don't even exist anyway, because they don't represent what they say they represent. It's not that they don't exist. It's not that they're not actual entities, because they're actual entities. The point is they don't represent what they claim to represent. That's why the two parties no longer exist. Part of the reason they don't represent what they claim to represent is because the people who are in them aren't the people who actually believe in the values that they say on paper. Vis-a-vis Mitch McConnell, John Thune, Steve Daines. We could go right on down the list. Tim Scott. There's a neocon for you. Nikki Haley. And sure, you could say, hey, this feels just like Iraq. And in principle, intervention, regime change, a situation or conflict that looks like it could demand that we have sustained military involvement. I understand in principle, but if you don't acknowledge the importance of geographic location, you're playing 10 steps behind the globalists. Don't even use the word globalist. If you don't understand geographic location, you're not playing the same game as a globalist. You're not even in the same arena. They're in the arena playing the game. You're out in the parking lot jerking off. That's just the truth of it. You don't have to like me. I want you not. You know what? I want you not to like me. I don't care about being liked. I just tell people what they need to hear, like a good coach. You know how many basketball coaches I had? When you played for me, like, I don't like that guy. And then like 5 years after you're done playing for him, you move to the next grade or the next level. You go from high school to college. You think, man, he was right about everything he was trying to tell me. I was selfish. I was immature. I was too worried about scoring instead of being the best player I could possibly be to help the team win so I could have more opportunities to be seen by more coaches so that I could go to the next level. He knew better than I did. And I'm not trying to talk down to you and say that you don't know what's best for you or you don't know what's best for this country. I say it all the time. Give me the first 100 patriots with the MAGA hat versus the first 100 people to graduate from the next class at any given law school in this country every day of the week. Give me what they call the first white Christian rube hillbilly. Give me the first 100 of them over the first 100 lawyers to come out of the law school every day of the week. But real is real, and fake is fake, and viral is viral. Love is love. War is war. Death is death. And none of us are getting out of this alive. None of us. It's us, and it's our forebears. It's the generations before us that allowed it to get this bad. There's no way to walk back. There's no way to walk down off of this cliff that isn't dangerous, that isn't going to call for us to sacrifice something. Even the comfortability of our own political positions and philosophies. We're going to have to sacrifice some of that in order to make it all the way back down off this cliff. We're going to have to give a piece of ourselves to make it back down off this cliff and save this republic. For me, as a no forever wars, non-interventionist, can't stand a regime change. We understand how it was used duplicitously over the last 40 years. Can't stand a regime change. Didn't like when they did it to Gaddafi. Didn't like the Saddam Hussein. The Afghanistan war now in retrospect is indefensible. You could go on and on down the list. Even there in Somalia. Never forget, we pulled the regime change there in Somalia on multiple occasions. Most recently, I mean, you know, every couple of years most recently, but you know, the inflection point was back in 93 when the Somali refugee immigration really started. So nobody is more against a regime change than I am. But I'm also against killing another person unless I'm staring down the barrel of a gun. And you have to be able to call these balls and strikes as an American citizen or you can't call yourself a patriot. Yes, we would rather not have to get in a fight. We would rather not have to kill someone. We would rather not have to go to war. But if we have to, we have to. And if we have to, we're going to win. That's part of our DNA as Americans. We want the path of least resistance. We want to be able to do it, you know, the best way conceivable. But if you push us to the edge, we're going to play on the edge. You push us right up to the edge, we'll play right there on the edge. Well, we're on the edge now. We're on the edge looking over. Okay, you don't want a world that's dominated by oil and energy? An economy that's dominated by oil and energy? A society that's dominated by oil and energy? Then you go to the front steps of your congressmen and women and you demand that the deep state and the intelligence community and all the advanced research departments, the most deepest, blackest classified crevice of our military industrial complex proliferate free energy.
which many people believe that they have. Never forget, the UAPs are still flying out there, and we don't have answers as to how it's happening, but we know that the energy used could potentially give humanity free energy. Well, you go to the front door of your representatives and demand that that technology be made public. And if you don't have the balls or the patience or the rigorous commitment to do that, shut your mouth. You take that oil with a smile. President Trump's helping you not have to get off your hands, sitting on your couch on your hands, commenting on social media. He's helping you not have to go stand out in the cold in front of your local representative's political campaign office and demand that they make public the free energy. Because you don't want to do that. And he knows you don't want to do that. I know you don't want to do that. Most importantly, you know you don't want to do that. You like the convenience. We all do. We like the prosperity. We like the baseline material wealth that technology has given us. We like things the way they are. We want them to be slightly different. Same, same, but a little different, as they say in martial arts. We want things to be slightly different. We need them to be slightly different. That's a part of our fundamental philosophy about this country and about the way that government and citizenship work. And we should demand that they're slightly different. But stop pretending you want them to be all the way different, because if you did, you probably wouldn't even be talking online. If we're just being honest, if you really wanted to go completely off the grid, you could. You don't want to. A lot of us don't want to. I'm here talking to you on Sunday evening. You know, this is like magic. I'm sitting here in a studio in Minneapolis, Minnesota, broadcasting to the entire InfoWars audience worldwide. This is a thing of magic. And we don't want to give over to technology. We don't want to be dumb to the rise of technology and dystopia and surveillance and techno-feudalism. But we still want to use it. You understand how tight, we have to thread this needle? You understand that it's our own spirit and will that makes this needle the finest needle to thread in the history of human civilization, because we like the benefits? It's like I said about the Somali community. The Somali community wants to yell tyranny when ICE comes and grabs somebody who's actually legal, mistakes them for illegal. But they take the subsidies of an overexpansive federal government. They like the federal government fat when they take those government subsidies. But then when the ICEs of the world roll around, they want to say, oh, it's overreach, tyranny. You don't get one without the other. But it's the same for you at home. You don't get this type of pure constitutionalist, patriotic citizenship while you still take all the benefits of radical materialism. It just don't work like that. Grow up. Grow up. We rolled down there to take the oil, and guess what? The Canadians better be on watch, because they might be next. You better pick a side, Canada. Pick a side. We're telling you now, warning you now, pick a side. Greenland already threw up the, hey, we'll play. We get it. Hemispheric defense. We're with you guys. And a lot of those Venezuelans down there are doing the same thing. You got to be careful. Just because a man was overthrown and pulled out of his country and people are on the streets, that alone doesn't mean it was a good thing. On principle, that doesn't mean it was a good thing. But if you look at who Maduro was aligned with, it's diametrically opposed to the way that we believe the world and at least our society should be. Diametrically opposed. We will not. We should refuse to live as they do in North Korea or Iran or China or Venezuela. We wouldn't accept that. Maduro wasn't the rightful president down there in Venezuela. We all know that. He knows that. The whole world knows that. Right, wrong, or indifferent on any other number of issues, he was not the legitimate president down there. He went gangster. I'm the president because I say I am. and because I have enough military power to make it happen. He wasn't playing by the rules. And we're going to let the Chinese Communist Party roll on down there to Venezuela, a stone's throw from Southeast America, from the Southeast Corridor. We're going to let the CCP roll down there and play buddy with Maduro? Time to pack up. Time to pack up and go home. Or we'll roll down there and get the rest of the regime. I bet you that regime wants to play ball now. I bet you that regime. And here's the playbook. Here's how you know it'll be America first or not. If they don't start trading Venezuelan oil and U.S. dollars, then we start to question why we went down there. As soon as they go off RMB to the U.S. dollar trading oil and U.S. dollars instead of yuan, America first, baby. America first. Because the CCP isn't going to give us back the money that your political elites stole from you. Stole right from under your nose to build the Chinese empire that exists today, the neo-colonial Chinese empire today. And people go, oh, well, they seem to have it down pat because they don't have to shoot any bullets in order to colonize anything. Yeah. Yeah. They're using a higher form of radical materialism. They're doing to us what we did to the rest of the world. They're saying to the rest of the world and to us, you want to play Marxism? You want to reduce everything down to price? We will win the game of price. And we will win through tyranny or slavery or authoritarianism or surveillance or biological war or whatever else we need to do in order to win. But we will win the game of price, the war of price. There is nothing more Marxist, communist, or satanic than to reduce the human existence down to price. But the problem is, in the West, we did the same thing. We called it free market capitalism. We said, we'll reduce the human existence down to price. And when you do that without righteousness, all of a sudden, somebody sneaks up on you who has a lot less sacred honor, and they stick a blade right in your back. And that was us going to China. Oh, it's going to be great. They have an incredible workforce we can use. We can use their workforce to become a booming place of manufacturing and reduce the prices for American companies and reduce the cost for consumers. And before you knew it, a Chinese regime stood up there and said, you really think we're going to keep taking pennies on the dollar? Time for us to get the cream on top. That's where we are now. We're in a war, asymmetrical war. Three poles of influence, the Americas, Europe, and Asia. We don't need the oil. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. We're tapping more American oil than ever, but the crude we need. And right now, or before yesterday, 50% of the crude was coming from Canada. Way too much power. We got to annex them next. Unless you guys want to start riding horses, and I'm not against it. Let's do it. But if we're going to do it, let's do it. I'm Royce White. I'm here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. You're watching Alex Jones, The Alex Jones Show, here on InfoWars, Sunday Night Live. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in a moment.
I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing.
but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, as it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones picture is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and go, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you, because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is, nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, InfoWars. I'm your host, our Royce White, Billy the Beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. You know, Monroe Doctrine. I don't understand what's so hard to understand. I don't understand what's so hard to understand. That's the best way I could put it. I don't get what's so hard for everybody to understand. Monroe Doctrine. Everybody else is playing it. Russia's played it. That was the impetus for the invasion of Ukraine, the recent invasion of Ukraine. There's Monroe Doctrine. China, right on the edge of going and taking Taiwan. Why do you think they want Taiwan? Because Taiwan's such a pretty country? No, because it's in their backyard and they don't like Western influence that close to their border. That's why. It's real simple, guys. The question is, are you ready to play the same game? And I asked Thomas Massey again, and again, I like Thomas Massey. I like a lot of things he has to say. I love his little debt clock. I want one. Please, Congressman Massey, if you can, send me one of those debt clocks. I love it. It's perfect. But I have to ask, and I said this at the beginning of the show, why would we, the American people, wait for a Congress that you say
is over 95% captured by special interests and lobbies to approve or vote for military action to defend or save this republic. Sir, can anybody out there answer that question? Anybody in this sort of libertarian, you know, wing of the movement? Somebody answer that question. Why would we wait for a Congress that you all say is captured by AIPAC? I'll wait. I'm just waiting for the comments to appear on X to generate here. Somebody out there, one of these detractors, tell me how you square it. The entire United States Congress, with the exception of a few, a handful, is captured by special interests and lobby money. Why would our commander in chief wait for traitors to approve military action against the very people who probably paid them off? On that alone, I support the action. On the fact that I know the United States Congress is captured, that's why I'm running for United States Senate. And you all know the United States Senate is captured. And that's the gaffe of this whole deal. We know that these people are captured. But yet you want to sit around and wait for them to approve saving this country? You really think that's going to happen? Or you think there'll be just enough of a vote or a majority on either side to get absolutely nothing consequential done? That's what's happening right now in the U.S. Senate. Furthermore, for all my constitutionalists, that's what's happening with the judiciary. The real crisis of our Constitution is not rolling down there to pick up Maduro like we did Noriega back in the 80s. The real crisis of our Constitution is that the courts were planted by globalists, and you all know it. But let's wait and see the outcome of the President Trump indictment. Let's wait and see how the legal process goes with the President Trump indictment there in New York City. Rule of law, rule of law, rule of law. It's a rule of law. There is no rule of law when your lawmakers are corrupt, bought and paid for traitors. I had the executive director of the Ron Paul Institute call me a neocon. It's like calling a wolf a ladybug. Ain't nothing neocon about me, but I am willing to stand up for this country, and I'm certainly not a pacifist. And I do understand that although we have these highbrow intellectual ideas about the Constitution and about our libertarian values, I do understand that you all still want to drive your cars, and you want your electricity. You want your iPhones. You want the cobalt from the Congo. You don't have to say it. We know by how much time you spend on your iPhone. Go ahead and look at the metrics for how much time people spend on their iPhone. That tells me you want the cobalt from the Congo. Well, there's another place with a lot of good rare earth minerals right down there in Venezuela. And bring up a map if you can there in the studio. I want to show people, because I think what tells me we're far behind the Chinese. You ever see one of those young Chinese kids play the game Go? They're spatial geniuses. And I think we're spatially retarded, some of us. We have spatial retardation, and that's not by accident. I don't know if it's the shit they're putting in the tap water. Sorry to use profanity. I don't know if it's what they're putting in the tap water or if it's what they're putting in the statins, or I don't know if it's what they're teaching you with the gender queer theory in the public schools. I don't know if it's the blue light coming from the screen itself. I don't know, but the Chinese kids are way ahead of us. They got cell phones with blue light. Hell, their blue light is probably cheaper and less regulated than ours is. But we have like a spatial retardation. Can you circle Venezuela, please, on this map? Can you bring the map up and can you circle Venezuela for me and just show people how close it is to America? If you think, and maybe you have this idea of the map as being flat, but I tell you that the Middle East and Iraq, Afghanistan is much further from us than you think by looking at it on a map. Much, much further. Venezuela, right there, people, right there. I mean, it's in our backyard. If Puerto Rico is a district or a territory of America, Venezuela could be too, by geographic location. Now, with all that being said, time will tell. You know, if they start saying that we have to, be in Venezuela for 20 years with unlimited, spending and with no return on investment. Remember, we went to Iraq and your buddy George Bush and his cronies were the ones who took the profits. We went to Afghanistan and somehow China becomes the number one producer of fentanyl. And everybody knows you need poppy in order to, produce opioids. And, we must have missed that whole play, where Afghanistan went from being 3% of the world's poppy production to 93% of the world's poppy production. And all of a sudden, America goes further into debt, but we get an opioid crisis. How do you think that worked? Do they have an opioid crisis there in China? Not the last time I checked. They have a mass suicide crisis there in China. People jumping out of Foxconn because the work conditions are so bad. Because the CCP is telling companies, if you're going to force your employees into slave-like conditions for the betterment of this country, we support you. We support you with the full force of the People's Republic of China. Here in America, we want to wait for Hakeem Jeffries and Speaker Mike Johnson to approve military action. Really? Even if they do, do you think it's going to benefit this nation? The real constitutional crisis is not going down there to Venezuela. The real constitutional crisis is in the courts, and we all know it. But we want to dance around that. You know, in the conservative movement, we have to dance around that because the rule of law is such a pillar of the conservative movement and platform and worldview, political philosophy. It's such a pillar, the rule of law, it's hard for us to even confront that the law itself is so hollowed out and rotted with special interests and lobby money and political vendetta and lawfare. And just an overall evil spirit and wickedness and disdain for American citizens and American citizens' rights. We are so unwilling to confront that. We would much rather scream at the top of a mountain that Venezuela must maintain its sovereignty. Really? I just think you're soft. Matter of fact, let's go a step further. I know you're soft. I know you're soft. You talk about war, but I don't think you're willing to do what it takes to win. I'm just being honest with you. There are limits to what we should do in Venezuela. There are limits to what we should do even within the scope of hemispheric strategy. I'm not saying unlimited. I'm not saying we're going to rebrand the globalist agenda in a worldwide foreign policy to a hemispheric foreign policy. Uh-uh. The problem with our foreign policy worldwide was, yes, we're stretched too thin, but secondly, it wasn't to your benefit. Learn to take the benefits when they knock on your door. Don't be so nihilistic and cynical that you won't even take the benefits. It's like they say about Christianity and Christians. You ask God for, to save you, and he sent a boat, and then he sent a life raft, and then he sent, whatever else, and you're still there praying, thinking that God's just going to miraculously save you. You missed the miracle. The miracle is a man who now sits in the White House was centimeters away from getting his head blown off, and he has the balls to roll down to Venezuela and say, we're taking your shit. Because that's the situation we're in. And it's not the situation we chose, it's the situation we were given. And you better be tough enough to deal with that. Or you're not tough enough to lead. You're not tough enough to win. See, there are players, there are athletes who are nice. There are athletes who are nice. And sometimes they can win. Sometimes the circumstances of the game allows the nice athlete to come out victorious. But sometimes the game gets so tough and gritty and physical, and the line of the rules gets pushed further and further by the intensity of the competition, that the nice guy can't win. And I think Thomas Massie is a very nice guy. I really do. Very fine gentleman. Same with Rand Paul. Remember the guy attacked Rand Paul there in D.C.? Can you imagine? Can you imagine me getting elected to the United States Senate and showing up with bruises and marks on my face because a random critic, political sycophant, charged me and attacked me and physically beat me up? Could you imagine that happening? I would smack that person's head clean off of their shoulders. The only story would be Royce was smacking his head off of his shoulders right there on the Capitol steps. Or at the little residence or whatever. They get you a place, a beautiful place to live in D.C., paid for by the American taxpayer. I think there shouldn't even be salaries if they can't balance a budget. If we can't get a budget balanced, nobody's getting paid. Your volunteer work until the budget gets balanced. Let's see who puts that bill forward, and let's see how many people sign it. You want to talk about America first? Let's put that bill forward next, John Thune, Speaker Mike Johnson. Nobody gets paid until the budget is balanced, or there's even a remote projection that the budget could be balanced in the near future. Nobody's getting paid until we see that the budget is on track to being balanced. Salary cap. Y'all don't want that. You don't want that. We're not really ready for that. We still like the theater. We're getting fed up. We're right there on the edge of being fed up, but we're not yet. We're just not there yet. Trust me, when we're there, when people are really fed up, there ain't going to be much more talking. This will all be looked at academically as the build up to when people actually were fed the F up. We're not fed up yet. But I'll tell you one person who's playing like they're fed up. That would be President Trump. President Trump saying, oh, you guys think you're going to run some counter dollar BRICS initiative on us? Really? You're going to pull your natural resources and we're going to pretend like we don't see that as an act of war? That's an act of war. If we are living in a society based on energy and natural resources, the importance of strategic geographic location, back to Mackinder's island theory, Mackinder's land theory, the geographical pivot of history. He who controls the heartland controls Eastern Europe. He who controls Eastern Europe controls the heartland. He who controls the heartland controls the Afro-Eurasian world island and the 50% of the world's resources that are located there. In order to maintain dominance militarily, economically, you need to be able to walk to the resources that are essential to your empire. Now, we can't walk. We can't quite walk to Venezuela. We could. We can't quite walk there, but it's a short trip. It's a real short trip. We could walk to Canada. Oh, and that's why I say, Canada, you better be picking a side here. And I believe they will. I believe the Canadians will choose the right side. But you better be picking a side, because we'll roll right up there next. We're not going to be the last ones off the bench in this brawl. To go back to my sports analogy from before, we love the Constitution. We're trying to defend the Constitution, but our enemies will not play by the rules. And when that pitcher throws that pitch high and inside, and even if it grazes me, it doesn't have to hit me. Even if it grazes me, I'm coming out to that mound and we're going to have a conversation. Matter of fact, we probably won't even have a conversation. I'm just going to get to throwing punches. And the rule is in baseball, and you see this in the major leagues, you're talking about people who get paid very, very well to play a game that, least I say, of all professional sports is very easy on the body. That's why baseball players tend to play so long. In the major leagues, when the batter decides he's had enough of the pitcher's aggression and he goes to charge that mound, those dugouts are getting emptied. And you better not be the last one out of your team's dugout. Just understand that analogy if you can. If you never play sports, you probably don't. But if I'm in that dugout and we're right there up on that fence and I got the bubble gum or the chew or whatever the case may be, maybe I'm getting my helmet ready and my bat and I'm getting ready to get up on deck or whatever the case may, wherever I'm at. When my man goes to rush that mound, I will not be the last one to be out of that dugout. Will not refuse to be the last one out of the dugout when the dugout's clear. You ask yourself as a citizen right now, are you going to be one of the first ones out of the dugout or the last? Because we're in a war. And if you don't think we're in a war, I don't think you're serious. We can debate. We can argue on the margins. I have no problem with that. We can discuss this as much as people want, and I'm willing to. We got a town hall here on Wednesday in Wayzata Middle School. If you're out there in Minnesota, come on to Wayzata Middle School, 7 p.m. Open forum. You want to debate foreign policy? Please, be my guest. I look forward to it. I honestly do. But we cannot be the last ones out of the dugout. We need to be first. We need to be trying to be first out of the dugout. First. First, second, third, not 14th. The last man out of the dugout should be the old sage third base coach who doesn't even third base coach anymore. He's just a part of the team because he's been there for 30 years and his name is old Ben, old coach Ben. And we just like Ben and he's staying around because he's a part of the legacy of the franchise. And he whispers little nuggets of wisdom to the players as a sort of a philosopher coach. He's a legacy piece. He's the last one out of the dugout. Let me go back to look at that film and see that old Ben waddled out onto that field before you young Lions. And I tell you what, we might be going 5 minutes back there in the locker room ourselves. And it's just about a grit and a toughness, a willingness. Let's call it a willingness to do what's necessary to win. Doing what's necessary to win is not dying on a battlefield in the Bloodlands. Doing what's necessary to win is not dying on a battlefield there for the Temple Mount in the Middle East or anywhere else in the Middle East for that matter. That's not doing what's necessary. That's not willingness to win. But willingness to win is our neighborhood is our neighborhood. We're going to defend our neighborhood. Venezuela, if you pull that map up again when you can there in the studio, Venezuela in our backyard, literally. If you don't understand the significance of geographic location, you might be spatially retarded. And you're never going to defeat the Chinese kid who's a master at Go. Go watch those Chinese kids. Can you bring up footage of the Chinese kids playing Go there in China? It's like chess, but it's on steroids. And it's all spatial genius. It's measures and countermeasures and being steps ahead but it's like chess, but expanded. In the West, we play chess. In the East, they play Go. And that's why China is confident that there's so many steps ahead of us. They're not so interested in the kinetic warfare, but they'll resort to it if they have to. And right now, the Chinese economy is unstable itself. And this move here in Venezuela furthers the instability of the Chinese Communist Party. Just categorically, there is no ifs, ands, or buts. It's not a debate. It's not a debate because China knows they need oil. Everybody who's living in reality knows that the way things are currently set up, you need oil, you need energy. Now, you want to start a protest, like I said, you want to start a protest for the deep state and the intelligence community to make public the technology? Look at that. Look at the Chinese kids play Go. It's just a fascinating how good they are. But if you want to win, we have to have the energy. We have to put a dent in this debt. We have to shore up and fortify our backyard. Be my guest. Show up to the Capitol steps and demand that they make public and proliferate, secret technologies that would make energy, close to free for everybody. That would help. The problem with that is nobody, they may have it. Nobody wants to be the first one to let it go, because if it's more dangerous for their enemies to get it than it is to be stuck on the petrodollar. At least that's what they say. At least that's what they say. I don't know how much I even believe that, but I understand the concept. If there genuinely is free renewable energy, technology that could give us free renewable energy, who knows where, we may be going kinetic quicker than we anticipate. The reverse or flip side of that coin of argument is, if they did that, there'd be no need for war, because most wars are about energy. And we understand that. I get it. But you can't put the chicken before the egg or the cart before the horse. You have to deal with things the way that they are. Right now, we don't have that option as citizens. We have to play the game and deal with politics the way that they actually are, not the way that we wish they were. The way they are, you're going to go out to your car and you're going to start that car, and it needs oil. It needs gasoline. More importantly, the electric company that feeds electricity to your house, it needs oil. It needs gasoline and energy. The food you eat, the AI data centers we're now building, because we're in an arms race with the CCP, they're going to need energy. And I guarantee you wind and solar ain't going to cut it. So that's where we are. That's just where we are. No equivalency between Iraq and Venezuela. To even think it, to even say it, is a concession to the globalist geopolitical framework that all military action is on an equal footing. No, it's not. The whole world is not our problem. Our problem is our country and our backyard. Take Venezuela's oil. No money for Ukraine. No war with Iran. But Venezuelan oil we'll take. And you Canadians better pick a side. That goes for the rest of the Western Hemisphere as well. It's been a great Sunday evening. I enjoyed being here with you. Thank you, Alex Jones, for allowing me to host again from the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. My name is Royce White. God bless you. God bless America. Godspeed. Hopefully I'll see you again next Sunday night. I really enjoy it. Reach out to me on social media. I had a blast. See you next time.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven. It's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs. Potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue. Possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.